Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of Am I Aspie or Autistic? A mini-series devoted to sharing the findings from a study on experiences of people with Asperger's diagnosis after the DSM-5 changed it to Autism Spectrum Disorder. I am Joanna Simmons, a psychology graduate, autism researcher and podcaster, but most people call me JJ. I'm so glad you joined me today. Before we begin, I invite you to take a moment to check in with where you are and what you are doing. Maybe as you are walking or driving whilst you listen to this, maybe you want to take a breath in and out. Notice how that feels. If you like, you can notice if you're holding any tension anywhere in your body. And feel free to take this time to do whatever you need to do to make sure our time together will be as comfortable for you as possible. I feel grateful to be able to share this time with you and share the stories of others to help increase understanding of the complexity around identity. I also want to invite you to take a moment to acknowledge the land that you are listening to this upon. The traditional owners of the land, their complex stories and identities. Okay, so, episode one, new mini-series, Am I Aspie or Autistic? What is this podcast all about? Well, before getting into the what, I'm going to speak a bit about the why and the how I'm making this project. So why? Well, Smith and Jones have done this research and it is very interesting, but unless you love reading peer-reviewed journals, it's not exactly the most accessible. So my aim of this mini-series is to make their incredible academia into snackademia for your ears. Basically, I am bringing the information that they spent a really long time researching to you in a digestible, hopefully easy to understand and engaging way. How has this information been accessed? Well, for this study, the researchers underwent a large literature review. They read all the studies on this topic, the topic of identity within disability, identity within people with Asperger's, now known as Autism Spectrum Disorder, or as we will call it, Autism Spectrum Condition. They read all the studies on this topic area by psychologists, researchers, and they have come to realize that this topic of identity has been from an external observational perspective, rather than asking the people who actually receive this diagnosis directly about how they feel about their identity. So, Olivia Smith and Sandra Dones recruited actual people and asked them specific questions to find out from them, by them leading the conversation their way, to hear firsthand their thoughts and experiences around their identity. And so who are Smith and Jones? I've said their names a few times. Well, Sandra Jones is a professor of health and social research and the pro vice chancellor of engagement at the Australian Catholic University. She is also an autistic woman and mother of two autistic children. Olivia Smith is an educational and developmental psychologist who has worked in a range of settings, including schools, universities, the non-for-profit sector, and private practice. Olivia has substantial experience working with children, adolescents, and their families, including the completion of neurodevelopmental and learning assessments. We are going to hear directly from Olivia later in the series. So that's the who, that's the how, and now we're going to go into the what. So what are these words, these labels and diagnoses that I've been talking about? Well, some of you probably know, and maybe that's why you're here, but I'm going to give a quick rundown on the terminology that we'll be using. So we're all speaking the same language, if you know what I mean. Autism is recognized as a neurodevelopmental disorder. Neuro, meaning of the brain. Developmental, meaning the process that something develops, grows, or changes, which brings variation to the breadth of an individual's interests and behaviors, as well as their ability to interact socially. Until 2013, Asperger's was a separate diagnosis, described as sharing these traits, the traits of autism, without the language and cognitive impairments. Asperger's has been found to carry more positive stereotypes, stereotypes of being quirky but likable, whereas autism is perceived by some people as a significant disability. I mean, what's in a name like Aspie or autistic? What does it matter? For those within the autism community, one of the most difficult and ongoing challenges is navigating which words and phrases suitably identify the condition. This enduring debate reflects more than our preferences for using particular kinds of language. This also reflects the divides between communities, the forming of us and them groups, and the politics or communication difficulties these perspectives might have. I mean, think about it. How have you found when you call one thing one word and someone else calls it another word, and then are you expected to be seeing eye to eye? What does that mean? How do you know you're talking about the same thing? As you can tell, a lot of questions come up. And so these divides between, I guess, what labels you're wanting to use for what range a person is within the spectrum, these divides run parallel in the changes in the diagnostic criteria led by the medical community. The labels and names within the diagnostic criteria for a particular set of neurodiverse traits has evolved over many decades. Now, it's to be what is known as ASD or Autism Spectrum Disorder. And there's another conversation to be had that this diagnosis, which is an umbrella term for a huge range of traits, it includes the word disorder. Disorder. For some, that's a problem itself. So in this mini-series, we are going to call it ASC, being Autism Spectrum Condition. Disorder versus condition. This is a little example of how language can have a lot of power. When we label someone as something, maybe saying they are energetic, strong, shy, intelligent, these labels might give a person a chance to reflect and maybe alter their understanding of themselves. Maybe they never thought of being energetic, which is seen by others as a good thing. Maybe then once someone starts calling them energetic, they really lean into that label and love it and embrace it. Labels can become part of someone's identity, their sense and understanding of who we are. Similarly, receiving a diagnosis like Asperger's can cause an individual to reflect on and adopt this label, especially if they like the quirky but likable aspects of Asperger's. And this might affirm their self-worth. This might give us a lot of sense or understanding for what or why we are the way we are. But what we're focusing on here is what happened for these people whose identity was, up until 2013, the label of Asperger's. It got merged along with other diagnoses known as childhood disintegrative disorder and pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified. Ooh, that's a sentence and a half. To all form the umbrella diagnosis, autism spectrum disorder. That's what's officially called. Well, in this mini-series, we will speak to 12 different individuals to hear what they think and feel about it. That's what we're going to do. Each episode will focus on different responses. Those in favor of the change to the DSM, those opposed, and those who aren't really sure. Before that though, in episode 2, that's the one after this one, we will look more deeply into the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, or the DSM, how the DSM is made and what changes did occur when Asperger's was merged to autism spectrum disorder. As I mentioned, labels can affect our identity. Therefore, in order to interpret the change of Asperger's to ASC, it's been said to be best interpreted through the lens of what's known as identity theory. A theory is a name for a bunch of ideas something explains, such as the theory of gravity, which is holding that the force of attraction between two bodies is proportional to the product of their masses and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between them, basically. What goes up must come down is known as the theory of gravity. Identity theory states that a person's identity is understood to result from a combination of their sense of self, their individuality, and their social group membership. For us, this plays an important role in understanding our place in the world and how we should act. A disability identity is a special form of identity which is thought to alleviate some of the stress I associated with minority group membership and discrimination and bring a sense of belonging and validation. These terms, by the way, aren't my own. There's a bunch of researchers in the show notes who have done a lot more study than me in order to come to consolidate what these theories are. And if you're interested in that, you can check that out. So you might have different experiences and reflections around what is your identity, especially if you have a disability. I know some people who have visible disabilities and some who have invisible ones, such as autism. There are lots of different ways of describing how we folks develop and connect with our disability identity. I'm going to outline some of them and invite you to reflect upon where you are at with your identity. So, some researchers have made a model where disability identity develops in stages. One of them is known as Gibson's three stages: passive awareness, realization, and acceptance. Or there's a status model of disability identity, such as being either a well-developed or less developed identity, or where you have a well-developed identity, you understand your strengths, weaknesses, and needs quite clearly. More recently, some researchers, known as Forber-Pratt and Zape, they kind of blended the two. So individuals have four developmental statuses, which may or may not be in order or happen at the same time. There's acceptance, relationship, adoption, and engagement. A key debate when looking at autism identity is whether autism is viewed as a disability or deficit, meaning a focus on things a person can't do and this needs to be improved, fixed, or cured by the medical model, or whether autism is viewed as a difference that needs to be recognized and celebrated. Where the focus is on what the person can do, what they can do, not what they can't. When viewing autism this way, what needs to be improved is not the person, but the barriers and perspective imposed by society. It's been found that viewing autism as a deficit or something to fix through what's known as the medical model can be potentially harmful to autistic people's self-identity. So, what is a way of viewing autism in a way that is helpful to people's identity? The answer that has emerged from this is using the neurodiversity perspective. This view argues that calling autism a disorder is wrong, okay? Autistic ways of thinking and being are not deficits that make a person less than, but rather this type of thinking is part of the variation in all humans that should be celebrated. This perspective has been found to help autistic people focus on the diversity of their strengths and interests as well as their challenges. From viewing it this way, it helps them benefit from connections with those more similar to themselves. I mean, think about it. I'm going to make an example about height. I'm not very tall. I'm about 164 centimeters. And if I saw this as a deficit needing to be fixed, if I constantly went around seeing other people who were taller than me, realizing that because they can reach things easily from medium to high shelves and they can find clothes that don't need taking up, or any time I go into a noisy place and I want to speak to another person, I've got to tiptoe in order to reach their ear and I feel really bad that they have to bend down and hear me, I get pretty down on myself. But if I saw my height as a difference to be celebrated, I could admire people who can reach things easily and also really show my strengths when I need to fit into a more small space like a crowded train, or I can move quickly because I'm short. It means I'm lower to the ground, get a bit zippy. By acknowledging my height and how it feels to be looking up at people all the time, when I meet someone who is the same height as me, I really celebrate the fact that we can look at each other without having to strain our necks. Did you know that autistic people have been found to have significantly lower self-esteem and higher levels of anxiety and depression than neurotypical people? In fact, the way we connect and identify with other people like us is internalized to our sense of who we are. Through this research by Cooper and their colleagues, they found that people who identify themselves as autistic and view this positively, it means they have lower levels of anxiety and depression and higher self-esteem. Viewing our neurodiversity as a positive aspect of our identity protects us from poor mental health and is associated with a higher quality of life. Everything is just easier and better. Think about all of this. Can you remember a time in your life when you viewed aspects of your identity as something that is wrong and needs to be fixed? What about aspects of your identity that might be different from other people but are something that you celebrate? Has there been a time when you've met another person who's like you, maybe they're another autistic person, and felt a connection to them, and more than that, it helped you understand yourself as you are because you're with someone who really gets you? As we've covered in the episode so far, and we'll go into it more detail throughout the series, identity around disability and all of our diversities is complex. There are lots of different ways to explain all the different stages we might be at with understanding and accepting who we are. Because describing who we are in words is so hard. Everyone has different words for different traits, different aspects of our personality or our perspective. And so we use language to try and articulate it, but it's all a little bit tricky, so we're doing our best. One researcher, their name's Gill, they argue that in order for an individual to feel comfortable with their disability identity and be psychologically well, they must integrate or bring together conflicting aspects of their identity. Gill breaks this into four types of ways that we bring these aspects together in order to develop our identity disability. It's not necessarily that we've got to pass through all these stages in a set order, but typically people go through them in a sequence. And I'm going to list them now because later on, when we hear from different people and their perspectives on where they are at with their identity, once the DSM changed from an Asperger's diagnosis to the ASD diagnosis, we're going to use this terminology to describe where these people are at. First one, a stage called coming to feel we belong. and this stage describes an individual acknowledgement that they have a right to be included in a society. So the next stage is called coming home, and this describes feeling connected to and accepted by a broader disability community. Others have framed disability as something external to the individual, something outside themselves, like a burden, like carrying a heavy bag around. This results in the individual seeing some parts of themselves as good and bad, and never feeling acceptable as a whole. At this stage, coming together or integrating the different parts of an individual's internal self, such as their wants, needs, and ideas, is often difficult because of this. So our way towards coming together can be seen in how some groups advocate using identity first rather than person first language, which separates autism from the person. Identity first language brings a wholeness and stability of identity. When these things are lacking, self-worth is affected and it can make it difficult to achieve the other integration. Finally, the stage Gill calls coming out describes achieving a positive disability identity. When someone comes out, they integrate how they feel with how they present themselves. They are comfortable being their true selves in all contexts. This stage can be difficult, and people are more likely to come out as having any kind of disability if there are more positive and desirable pathways for them. So we, the research team behind this project, support coming out rather than masking or passing, which are things that autistic people might do to hide behaviors and attitudes that show their neurodiversity. Because masking, basically pretending that you're someone that you're not, has been found to have negative outcomes for autistic people and their families. And as we have so far established, there is no one-size-fits-all approach to how we describe disability identity development or identity development in general. As I said, this series we're going to use Gill's four stages, but also acknowledge if anyone is not in any one of these stages or are kind of like, what are you talking about stages? I don't know why you're using these words. I am who I am. It's not a bad thing. Because for us, there is no good or bad when it comes to understanding identity and who we are. We're using Gill stages as a framework to explore the ways the people we'll speak about. This is so that, like I said, we have a clear language and sets of terms to understand the perceived impacts of the change of the DSM and the people we are focusing on. More on that to come. Whoa, I feel like that has been a lot of information. If I have lost you on any of this, don't worry. The episodes coming up aren't going to be as wordy and dense as this. It's going to be a bit more alive, a bit more interview style. This was the first one to really kind of put all the terms and all the ingredients on the table. Thanks so much for sticking with me so far. It took me a while to wrap my head around it all too. I do hope though that I have sparked your interest and given you a chance to reflect on your own identity development. Coming up in the next episode, we will focus specifically on the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. What it is, what it is used for, what happened when it changed, and why. I'll leave you right there. I hope you can take care, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Am I Aspie or Autistic? This series was made as part of the Winter Research Scholarship funded by the Australian Catholic University. Most of the information used in this series is from the research by Sandra Jones and Olivia Smith's 2020 paper, Coming Out with Autism, Identity in People with an Asperger's Diagnosis After DSM-5. This podcast was written, recorded, and edited by me, Joanna Simmons, with the support of Sandra Jones, Jennifer Lowe, Lisa Levy, and the team at ACU. Links to the original paper and other articles I used to write this episode are in the show notes. If you want to share your thoughts of the episode, feel free to post a comment or review, share with a friend or family member, or write to us on autism@acu.edu.au. We would love to hear any questions you have and what this episode brought up for you.